Well, in all actuality, sitting there mad because I'm going to miss the opening of the football game. Amen. Glad I got a God that's more real than the National Football League. Amen. And the Lord won't get in the way of my sports entertainment at all today. Amen. And I'm glad about that. Glad that the world's excited about a lot of things, but I'm glad that we do have a God to serve and to be excited about. Amen. Yeah. All right. Second Peter chapter 3 and Ephesians. I'm talking. I can't find the book of Ephesians. There it is right there. Again, that's Ephesians 6 and Second Peter chapter 3. Now, I don't know exactly how many of you were here last week, and I found it and then shut it again, so I'll find it again in a minute. But I don't know how many of you was here last week, but last week I tried to preach something for husbands and wives, and I'm not sure if Brother Nathan put that on the internet or not, but it's worth going back and looking at it or listening to it if you didn't hear it, because there's a lot of things in there that'll help you. And I preached that message because I was dealing with somebody the week before last, and we were talking about all the divorce that there is today, and better than 50% of marriages end in divorce, and that's unacceptable. If 1% of them fail, that's unacceptable. Amen. And at the very bottom line, you can at least keep your word. Amen. And I said this last week, and I'll say it again today. When I was in the Marine Corps, and them fellas was in boot camp sweating it out, and they wanted to get out, the drill instructor didn't hold their hand and say, "Honey, what's going on in your life? And how can I help?" There wasn't no compassion like that. He said, "You signed a contract. Shut up. Get back in line." Amen. And it might be good for marriage counselors today when husbands and wives start complaining with one another. Listen, you signed a contract. Shut up and get back in line. Amen. Because listen, complaining ain't going to help. You go home today and complain about everything that's wrong in your marriage. See how much that helps. You're going to cause problems. You're not going to help problems. I will tell you what you need, though, as a husband and a wife. And listen, let's not leave out the children, amen. A lot of folks, the husbands and wives, forget that during all the scuffles and troubles and strife in their life, there's little kids sitting around listening and looking. Amen. Well, what I can recommend to you that'll help you is you get your Bible down off the shelf and read it. Yeah. Amen. People think religion is just about going to church on Sunday morning, putting my suit on so everybody can look and see how nice I am. Listen, there are people that are worried more about whether or how far their skirt comes down below their knee than they are about, am I going to get my heart right with God? Am I going to get in touch with God? Listen, you get your heart right with God, a lot of things will work itself out. You'll start dressing right and acting right. You'll even start talking to your husband and your wife right. And your kids will get brought up right. And, I mean, you get right with the Lord and things just go right. I mean, that's what it means to be right with the Lord. Amen. And I believe that you can do that. And I would say this, that a lot of husbands and wives, the main thing that they need in their life is the Lord. There used to be kind of a simple belief like that in this country. Of course, public school has robbed a lot of that from us. The plain old simple belief. The Bible says, since we have this hope, he said, we use great plainness of speech. A lot of things are plain and simple. And you used to ask people what they intended to do. Well, nowadays you ask people what they intend to do, and they intend to spend thousands of dollars on counseling. Well, what do you intend to do to fix this problem? Well, I intend to go ask Dr. Spock, and I intend to go ask all these. Well, listen, back 100 years ago when people was having problems, I say, what do you intend to do? The simple answer was, well, I intend to get right with the Lord, and I intend to trust the Lord. But see, that kind of talk is kind of simple-minded. Well, you're simple. Well, how come they had less divorces back then than you have now? How come they had more stick-to-itiveness than folks this day and time does? I mean, they're so simple. They're so backwoods. I mean, they're such idiots. They're so uninformed. How come they weren't shooting one another by the 50s and the 100s back in those days? The Bible says the nation that forgets God be turned into hell. And now we got society's turned into hell. You got to worry about getting shot when you go out in the street. Society's turned into hell. You got to worry about terrorist attacks and all kinds of stuff like that. But you know, back in 1789, they never worried about nothing like, wonder if a terrorist attack going to take place today. Seemed like God had his hand on the country. And what's more important than that, the household. I mean, it seemed like households had discipline. They had order. They had things. I mean, everything was just so. And, oh, we can't have that. We can't have that. Oh, we can't have the husband being the head of the household. We can't have that. Well, I mean, back then when they had stuff like that, every other marriage didn't end in divorce. And I never thought I'd live to see the day when that would be a literal statement. Every other marriage. And boy, I've had people put their finger right in my face. You're too hard. How can you say stuff like that? And then they'll call me 9 months later and say, hey, we getting divorced. Getting divorced. We don't like straight talk. And so, but people like comfort. Hey, comfort me, help me. I'd rather comfort you before you got a divorce. Hey, I'd rather comfort you by trying to keep you away from drugs and alcohol. And, man, I'd rather tell you on the front end the dangers of it than to try to comfort you because you're knee deep in the dangers of a thing. Amen. It's a little bit too late. I know of a family right here in Folkston. God bless their hearts. I wish it wasn't so. But tried to tell them the right way and tried to tell them things were right. They didn't want to hear that. And went to another church where they would never say anything was wrong and that they would never lay things out with the cards face up on the table so you could see. And never say anything about nothing in this other church. But when that family got divorced, when that family got tore apart, when that family was hit by infidelity, then all of a sudden the preacher stands up and starts preaching against it. Hey, it's too late. Yeah. After they already laid out. Yeah. It's too late after they're already destroyed. You do that stuff beforehand. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, you've been married 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, problems still going to arise and you're still going to need the Lord. Yeah. Amen. You're still going to need God's direction. Amen. And you need more direction than Dr. Spock can give you. And I don't even know if people still know who Dr. I'm not talking about Star Trek, Live Long and Prosperous. If you don't know who that is, that's okay. You're better off. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to preach to you. Now listen, this sermon is going to examine the Lord's dealing with us, and then that's going to teach us how to deal with those for whom we'll give an account. You know, you have to give an account for yourselves. You have to give an account for one another, for how you've acted towards one another as a husband and a wife. And then you're going to have to give an account for your kids. And listen, it was already said here this morning, I'm not the greatest husband in the world. I'm not the greatest father in the world. But I know who is the greatest father in the world. Amen. That's the Lord. The Lord, God our Father. And so I can learn from Him how He deals with me. And then I can in turn learn how to deal with my wife. And my wife can learn how to deal with me, and then we can learn how to deal with our children. And that'd be the best way, amen? That'd be the best way. And again, let me just emphasize it one more time, because it ought to be emphasized. This world claims to have all the answers, and it claims to have all the education, and it claims to have all these things, yet marriages are falling apart more than they ever have before. So who's responsible? Television's got all the answers. They tell you all the ways to live, all the ways to dress, all the ways to think, all the things to accept, all the things you ought to love and accept, and all it does is make society worse and worse and worse and worse. You better get back to God. God has the answers. Yeah. You say, well, that's old-timey thinking. Well, you need some of it. Yeah. Well, that's kind of a conservative, old-fashioned way of thinking of it. Well, I don't mind old-fashioned ways of thinking about things if I can have the old-fashioned results. Yeah. Amen? So that's what I'll take. You say, I don't want that. Well, Methodist Church is the first church right at the end of the road. You make a right here, go all the way down to the end of the road, and go right in there. They'll be happy to let you do whatever you want to. Get drunk on Monday night and Saturday night, and then come to church Sunday morning. They'll shake your hand, say, how you doing? And put your money in the plate. That's all we care about. So if you want that kind of religion, you can have it. Amen. 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 So we're going to examine how the Lord deals with us, and then that'll teach us how to deal with one another. Amen. The Lord, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's a great verse. The Lord is not slack. The Lord said, now this chapter deals with the coming of the Lord. And in this verse, he says, hey, there's some people in this world that's going to say, matter of fact, it's in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? The Lord said he was coming, and guess what? One day he's coming. And there's some people on this earth say, well, the Lord said he's coming and it's been all these years and he ain't come back yet. Where's he at? What's going on? And the answer to that is the Lord's not slack. The Lord is not putting it off. The Lord is not delaying his coming because he don't want to keep his promise. The Lord delays his coming because he's long suffering to us. He, to usward, in our direction. The Lord is putting up with a whole lot of stuff that ought not to be going on because he is willing for people to get right with God. I'll give you one more chance, he says. I'll give you one more chance. I'll give you one more opportunity. See, we're not up here preaching hard and being hard, trying to rule your lives. We're preaching hard and saying what's right because God wants you to know what's right. God wants you to do what's right. It's not a message of hate. It's not a message of anger. It's not a message of I'm better than you, or I act better than you, or I dress better than you. It's a message that God is holy and we, you and I, not you, you and I, we come short of God's glory and his grace and God's expectations. What he expects of us, we come short of it, yet he keeps on being merciful and he keeps on letting us go. I mean, he doesn't let us go without correction, but he just keeps putting up with our mistakes, our faults, our failures, our sins over and over and over again. And there's not a man in this room that couldn't say, I've messed up again in God. I wonder why God didn't kill me. Is the wages of sin death? Yep. Does the Bible say the wages of sin is death? Amen. Do you believe the Bible? Amen. Well, then why ain't you dead? Because God been merciful to you. God been merciful to you. I mean, see, we say we believe stuff like that, but we really don't. We think the stuff that's important on Sunday morning is, do we have our tie on? Do we have our suit on? Do we have our Bible? We think those are the important things, and all those things can be important. But I tell you what, the words that are written on the paper are true. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth it shall die. But here we are because God been good to us another day. Amen. Been good to you, been good to me. Oh, surely the deacons and the pastors, they're great godly saints. Listen, the deacons and the pastors of this church, just as wicked as any man in the building. Amen. Amen. You say, well, why you stand up for all this doing right stuff? Because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what God expects of us. Amen. If not, let's take out all these seats, put a bunch of tables in here, and just meet on Sunday morning, eat breakfast, fellowship with one another. So who you going to think who you think is going to win the Dallas game today? And then go about our business. I mean, you take the do right part out of the Bible, what you got left? I guess if you was Joel Osteen, you could invent something to preach about. Just ain't so. Be your best you. The Bible says every man in his best state is altogether vanity. I would not be the best me if my life depended on it. If I was the best me, I'd be a burglar, a car thief, a moonshine runner. Hey, I took a dog up there to North Carolina this week, and I sold it to my brother. It's always nice when you can sell stuff to your brother. Amen. He owes me a lot of money anyway. And so I gave him this German Shepherd dog. He gave me a check. And on the memo line, he wrote, one case of moonshine. So that'll be interesting when I deposit that down at the bank. The lady that does our banking is the pastor of the church across the street. And I'm going to say, it was good stuff too. Amen. Hey, if I was my best me, that's what I'd be. I'd be an outlaw. I was raised with outlaws. I was raised with car thieves. I was raised with bikers. My grandpa got killed in a card game. They was a rough group of people. I was brought up to do meanness. And boy, I was good at it at one time. But I tell you what, God saved me. I don't want to be my best me no more. I want to be the best Christian I can be. I want to be the best pastor. I tell you what I'd like to be. I'd like to be a good daddy. I'd like to be a good husband. I don't want to be no good wife. That's your job, ladies. That's your job. Amen? But you know what? I keep coming short of it. I was standing out by the fence the other day, and I was closing the fence, and one of the girls got on my nerves doing something. I know these sweet, wonderful angels, you would think they would never get on anybody's nerves, but one of the girls got on my nerves a little bit, and I was shutting the gate and thinking about, Lord, why do they do this? Why does the children do the things that they do? And the thought occurred to me, why do you do the things that you do? See, I'm a father expecting the best from my children, and I got a Father in heaven that's expecting the best from me. And I guarantee you, I upset my heavenly Father more than my children upset their earthly father. But see, there's a correlation there. The thing that bothers most mamas and daddies, and the things that drives most mom and daddies crazy, is they don't have no long suffering. They don't have no patience like God has. And I tell you, I grew up in a part of the country where patience usually run out at the end of a belt. Go get me a switch, boy. I mean, make me go get my own switch. That's a special kind of terrorism all to itself. Go get your own switch. I'll come back with a little toothpick like this, right? Get beat harder. Okay, now go get me two switches. Make them 6 foot long apiece. Get whipped by two of them. But at any rate, we got whoopings. And listen, there's nothing wrong with disciplining your children. Nothing wrong with that stuff. But a lot of times you fly off the handle at your wife, fly off the handle at your husband, just because you don't realize that there's a God in heaven that's been a lot more merciful to you and your faults than the faults your husband has. I mean, if the sock doesn't make it into the clothing basket, you think that's the end of the world. That's not the end of the world. I mean, who's going to come inspect your laundry room to make sure? I mean, I need all the socks in the laundry basket. Why? Well, I would appreciate it. And I wish you'd be more sensitive to my needs. Well, see, people get caught up in that because somebody on television said you were supposed to do it. Listen, are you going to bend over and pick up the laundry basket? Then bend over 6 more inches and pick up the sock and put it in there. You say, well, he ought to do it every time. I know, but he ain't gonna. People ain't going to do things the way they ought to every time. You know what's interesting? People get upset. They say, the toilet seat, which way does it go? It goes down. Why? I heard my mother and my daddy fuss many times. I mean, I'm not talking about, hey, do it this way. I don't want to do it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fuss for 30 minutes over bathroom etiquette. Hey, it don't matter. You say, that's silly. I know it's silly. That is what's destroying homes. Silliness. Silliness. You don't do it like my mother. I didn't marry your mother.
Amen. Right.
You got married to get out of your house. You didn't marry your mother. You didn't marry your father. Well, I'm used to it this way. Well, things are changing now. You're not at home. Why do boys and girls spend 18 years trying to get out from underneath the way their mamas and daddies do things, get married to somebody, then fuss because things are not being done the way mama and daddy done it? Why did you leave home?
Right. That's true.
Because you're just particular. We'll put it that way. Otherwise, you're fussy and inconsistent and hypocritical. And when it comes down to it, you just want things done your way. So there's some justification in saying, I want it done this way, I want it done that way. But see, God says I want it done this way and I want it done that way. But the difference between us and God is God has understanding. God knows what we're made out of. Ladies, did you know your husband wasn't perfect? He never going to be that way. Men, your wives not perfect. They not always going to be that way. Amen. They're not going to live up to your expectations. You expect them to, but they're not going to do it. But the Bible says God is long suffering. And look here. Let's read this other verse in Ephesians chapter 6. So we can get onto this. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, For this is right, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that's what most homes are missing right there, the nurture and the admonition. You know, before you pull out the belt and start beating people, before you lift your hand, and you better not ever let me find out, you men, I don't care which one of you it is, that you've lifted your hand, hit your wife. Amen? Amen. That's not the way to do it. Amen? That's because you got some kind of issues, but that don't prove you no man. Amen? Amen. But you know, listen, before you whip that child, before you raise your hand in anger at one another. Some of you fellas might be getting beat up by your wife. I don't know. The way men are today, I wouldn't doubt that a bit. Amen. Like my old preacher said, he said, I was looking around trying to find some men. I found a bunch of old scarecrows standing around, a bunch of hay-stuffed scarecrows. Because that's what men's made out a lot of times. And I'll just tell you this, a lot of women today a lot tougher than men are. You know what? One of these days I'm going to preach a message on what I found on Facebook. You know what I seen on Facebook yesterday? For the last 6 months, I've been seeing this trend, these ladies taking their profile pictures. Just look at the camera. Well, you're trying to be a Hollywood starlet. You got something wrong with your neck? What's wrong with your neck? You know what I seen yesterday? I finally seen it yesterday. This man looking at the camera. That's gay. That's what that is. That's gay. Hey, be a man. Hey, put a picture of an old cow or something on your profile picture. Amen. I mean, so put a picture of a farm tractor or something like that. Amen. But we got a bunch of sissy men. Yeah. Amen. And that's, you know, most men beat on their wives, take it out in violence. Usually some fella got beat up in high school. Amen. 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 Lift your hand to your wife. That ain't right. You know what the problem is? Well, besides all that, no nurture. How many of your husbands got problems? Go ahead and put your hands up. Chickens. How many of your wives got problems? Go ahead and put your hands up. Chickens. Chickens, chickens. All of you chickens. Well, listen, I got something that'll help you. Why don't you get concerned about their problems and see if you can't help them out? That's nurture. Yeah. Nurturing is to help. Nurturing is to try to improve. Nurturing is to try to take somebody from a position of weakness and help them to grow. A man spend all day long out in the field trying to save a pea patch. Boy, I've got to give it some fertilizer and I've got to really get some water in here. I've got to do something to help these plants grow up to their potential. And they got a wife inside they couldn't care less about. Well, what are you complaining about now? Well, what's your problem now? Women do the same thing to men. Well, I don't understand why you ain't got this fixed yet. I don't understand why you can't do that. I don't understand. That's right. You don't understand because you don't understand. You're not trying to help. You're just complaining because it's not going your way. I might be tongue-tied, but I'll get it out here in just a minute. The Lord's long-suffering. Feels like it's tightening up in here just a little bit. The Lord's long-suffering. You say, well, how long do I have to suffer? Don't say, just long-suffering. Just have to put up with it. And I'll give you some good encouraging news. After you solve this problem, there's going to be another problem coming up down the road. Amen? Because we're just faulty people. You married a faulty man. If he could only be like Brad Pitt, you'd be divorced. Didn't Brad Pitt leave his wife a couple times? Didn't he leave a couple of them? Well, you don't want him to be like Brad Pitt, do you? See, you women are hypocrites. And to be honest with you, I don't understand it. Sit in front of a television all day looking at this man. Oh, look at that man. Elvis Presley. Some of you ladies, some of you elder ladies, I just mentioned the word Elvis. And I went home to see my dear old mother God bless her heart. She's not 70 yet, but she's getting close. And on her little refrigerator, she's got a little picture of Elvis Aaron Presley. In his young boy days, you know, black hair, cute little chin, and Elvis, ain't he a darling? Well, I don't understand you, ladies. I don't understand. How would you, listen, something go wrong in your family, how would you feel about it? I mean, your husband left you for somebody, how would you feel about that? You'd cuss him for all he was worth. Well, why is it wrong for your husband, but not wrong for Elvis? Huh? Or Brad Pitt? If your husband done it to you, he'd be a scoundrel, and you'd be justified in fussing at him for a long time. But you ain't fussed at Elvis not one time, or Brad Pitt. Sit there and watch him and spend your money to support him and clap for him when he... Huh? You're not making much sense. Well, I thought we was interested in being mad at one another for their problems. How about you, fellas? If your wife walked out of the house with some of the clothes these Hollywood ladies put on, you would lose your mind. What are you doing that for? Why are you wearing that? But it's okay for these ladies on TV to do it. Sit down, watch it 24 hours a day. See something? See, your expectation not that high after all. The preacher is meddling this morning. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly right. See, there's something spiritual going on. The stuff that you'll allow Brad Pitt or Elvis Presley or some of these Hollywood women, the things you'll allow them to get away with, there is far less stuff than that going on in your own home. You can't even get along with your wife. You can't even get along with your husband. And it's little stuff. Well, I can't believe he bought that. Well, let's take him outside and shoot him, because the man works 40 hours a week and tries to buy some little thing, and we've got to kill him now because he spent that money on a rifle, and I could have bought some Windex with that. I mean, that's basically what it comes to. I'm not for being a spendthrift, and well, I am for it. I'm not recommending that you go spend all your money on just frivolous things. But if you had that $100 you spent at Walmart back that your wife got mad at you, what would you spend it on? Other stuff at Walmart. But see, it would be stuff that she wanted to... See, that's where arguments are. That's where arguments are right now. It's not about serious things. It's not, hey, let's get our lives right. Let's get our hearts right with God. That's not the things people are trying to, trying to micromanage. How much money did you spend for lunch today? If you have to worry about how much you spent for lunch today, you've got more problems than just your husband not living up to your father's example or some craziness like that. That's not the problem. I'll tell you what the problem is. The devil trying to break up Christian homes. The devil's trying to break up Christian homes, because once the Christian home is gone, what do you have left? What do you have left? The Bible said if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The answer is nothing. You say, why is Christianity losing its grasp on society? Why is the things of God not being put forth in society today? Because the home's broken. The homes are broken. People are more angry at their wife for putting on 15 pounds after she got married than they are souls going to hell.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, there will come a day when you can get them back for that, ladies. See, I'm speaking from experience. You get married, you marry the prettiest little old girl in the world. You say, I'm going to enjoy my life with this knockout all my life long. Right? Here's mine right here. Well, 9 months later, here comes this baby, and your wife gets 200 pounds. and say, well, this baby's going to come along 2 weeks later, everything's going to be fine. So after 2 weeks of having no sleep whatsoever, you look around and all of a sudden, you're not married to this little number 10 anymore. Well, I'm kind of upset about this. Hey, when you going to lose that weight anyway? Keep talking like that, fellas. And once you get about 35, you're going to be a big fat cow yourself. Amen? And you're going to say, I'm going to lose this weight. And 6 months later, you're going to be fatter. And God up in heaven's going to be going, ha! 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 It ain't so easy, is it? That's right. See that again. Let's go back to that fella sitting around watching Angelina Jolie on TV. Why don't my wife look like that? Because they didn't spend $9 million trying to make her look like that. That's why. If you had Hollywood, which could make a shark this long, eat a yacht 35 foot long, if you had somebody that could trick you like that, they could come in and make your wife look good too. You ought to get your desires out of a book instead of off of TV. I'm talking about this book. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, there's not a man in this room wouldn't say, well, I'd like my wife to look like the day she got married. Wouldn't be nothing wrong with that. Except for sometimes we get unrealistic expectations about our husbands and wives, and sometimes it kills marriages. Yeah. He's not always going to look like the quarterback of the football team. He's just not going to do it. Not going to do it. And I tell you what, once he gets over 40 years old, if he tries, he's going to hurt himself. Amen? I got out of the truck the other day and I was going to jog over to the door of McDonald's. And by the time I got to the door of McDonald's, I said, I wonder if it's these Big Macs making me feel this way. Take off real fast and you get this tightening of the chest and palpitations. I'm going to die right here. I don't want to die in the McDonald's parking lot. And I certainly don't want to die of Big Macs. But it looks like they're going to do me in one of these days. Amen? But I tell you this. If I do die in the McDonald's parking lot on my way to get me another Big Mac, I'm going to do my very best not to let people's little problems and the fact that they don't meet my expectations ruin my marriage and ruin my relationship with my kids, because my kids are going to get on my nerves. Your kids are going to get on your nerves. My wife ain't always going to meet my expectations. I'm not always going to meet hers. But at the end of the day, I can look up to heaven and saying, I'm making him mad more than I'm making him happy. And he's been patient with me. He's been long-suffering to me. He's put up with me a long time. Why is it that I can't turn around and just give him another chance? He's a mean boy. This is a mean boy right here. This boy will test your nerves. This boy, well, yes, see? Yes, you will. He'll test your nerves. And I spanked him, and I thought he'll do better next time. And he finds a way to do it. He finds a way to get around it. I say, now don't do this again, and he won't do it that way again. He'll find another way to do it. And I'm looking at, what am I going to do? How am I going to solve this problem? And I got a God up in heaven that's looking down at me doing the same thing. And he's saying, how am I going to solve this problem? How am I going to fix him? And I just ain't going to get fixed. I'm going to work on specific things and they're going to get better. But when I die, I'm going to die an imperfect man. And if I don't realize that when I'm dealing with this boy right here, I'm dealing with me. I'm dealing with the same thing God's dealing with. You folks are not going to be perfect. You're not going to be great Christians. You're never going to be great Christians. You're just not going to be. But you can try to be. You can set your aims on it. And hey, once in a while we say, hey, that brother's a great Christian. But we all understand, don't we, that we come far short of our expectations in God's eyes. Any man that gave a right testimony would say, I haven't done for God what I ought to have done for God. And any woman in here that was honest would say, I haven't been as good a wife to my husband as I ought to have been. And if we were as critical of ourselves as spouses as we were about our spouse, boy, our marriages would take off like a rocket ship to the moon. I mean, critique yourself as a husband the same way you critique your wife, and boy, things will begin to change. Boy, I have not done what I ought to have done. When Jesus looked down at the world and he saw all the problems, you know what he did? He said, I'll go down and pay the price for them. Isn't the Lord long-suffering for our salvation? First time he come to us and said, you need to be saved. We said, I need to go party with my friends. The first time the Lord come by and said, you need to be saved. We said, well, I wouldn't be caught dead with some of them religious hypocrites down at that church, which is what you got here, a bunch of hypocrites. We all got expectations of ourselves that we come short in. Sometimes we flat out just throw our expectations for ourselves out the window. Well, if we put as much time criticizing ourselves as we do our husband, your husbands, wouldn't that make you a better wife? And as much time criticizing ourselves as we do our wives, wouldn't that make us better husbands? Why, Lord, you husbands, if you made yourself into what you ought to be, there ain't no telling what your wife might do. Well, my wife, she never squeezes my muscle anymore. I told you that every once in a while my wife will slip up beside of me and she'll grab my arm and go, whoo! And I'm just a little pipe cleaner. I'm just a little old skinny fella. But I'll walk around the rest of the day. Well, do something to improve yourself, fellas. Your wife might slip up beside you and say, you handsome devil. Of course she'll be lying. Amen. Can I preach just a little bit longer? You know, I mentioned something about you fellas being angry because your wife don't weigh the same as she did when you got married. Some of you fellas not looking too hot either. Come in, find you on a Saturday, got your shoes kicked off. Got your shorts on, your wife beater t-shirt. Tobacco spit running down the side of your face. Hey, honey, how's about a kiss? How's about no? How's about brushing your teeth? Huh? You ain't had a bath since Wednesday. How's about taking a bath? I think I've offended some folks right there. That's right. It's a gospel truth, though. See, I think it goes both ways. Husbands expect of wives and wives expect of husbands, but never consider their own self. Amen? Amen. And the only thing bad about that, there's always going to be problems to find. The only thing bad about that, there's no nurture and no admonition. Admonition, that's just to speak to somebody. It put it in its simplest terms, that's just to speak. You know what the problem is a lot of times, Brother John? Men look at their wife and don't like what they see. Women look at their husband and don't like what they see, and they keep it inside. Or if they decide to say something about it, they say it like this. When are you going to change it? That don't help. That don't help. How about just calmly sitting down and saying, well, hey, I think we got a problem. How can we fix it? Don't you think that'd help? Don't you think it'd better? Don't you think it'd be better? I don't know about women. I don't know any way that women is wired up, but I know this. If you fuss at a man, he's going to fuss back at you. You say, well, that's not right. But that's the way that it is. I'm not talking about making things right. I'm talking about dealing with things that are broke. Like God deals with us that are broke. We are broken. We are fallen. We fell in the Garden of Eden. We are fallen people. And we've got to learn to deal with one another or we're going to break. And I know this with all of my heart. You come at a man and say, hey, blah! And that's exactly what you're going to get in return. Men are violent, aggressive people. That's true. And it's going to come out. But listen, aren't we looking for solutions? It's nurture. It's admonition. It's the Word of God. It'll help you. Lord, I do thank you this morning for your goodness, and I do pray, oh God, that you'd help us. Lord, children are being raised all over this world by the edge of a sword. Do this or else. And husbands and wives are hanging on by a string. This has to be fixed or else I'm finished. And Lord, that is no way to deal with one another. And should we leave our wives or should we leave our husbands and go out into the world, all we'll find is other fallen people and other imperfect people. We're not going to find anything better any other place. And Lord, I think most of all what we're looking for is to please ourselves rather than to please one another. And Lord, I believe that's one of the biggest problems of all. And I pray, oh God, you'd help us to consider one another and provoke one another to love and good works instead of provoking one another to anger and Lord, losing our temper so fast. And Lord, these are not problems that I've mastered, but these are problems that I must work on. And these are problems that these husbands must work on. And these are problems that these wives must work on. We must, God, learn to deal with each other inside of our problems, not this unrealistic expectation that we have no problems. Lord, I pray you'd help us with this. I am an unworthy servant, God, and I have not explained these things the best way that they should be explained, but I trust that you'd take these little illustrations and make us think and help us to realize, God, that when we're looking at the faults of others, we are, Lord, ignoring our own problems. And Lord, the solution is to get together and work these things out. Admonish one another and nurture one another and help one another to be the best mothers and fathers that we can be. It's our job to help one another. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us to do these things. In Jesus Christ's name we ask them. Amen. There are Brother Nathan over here praying, so we won't have any music, but I'll give you an opportunity, fellas. Now's the time. Don't wait till next week to get it fixed. Don't wait till the week after to get it fixed. We have an altar call around here, and it's to deal with God. It's to deal with the issues at hand. The Lord spoke to you about being a better daddy, a better husband, a better mother, a better wife. Won't you come get around the altar and say, God, help me to do it. So I don't really want to come to the altar. Well, why don't you do it right there in your seat? You know you need to do it. Help me to be a better man. Help me to be a better father. Help me to be a better wife. Help me to be a better mother. It's something that we all need. There's not a man in here that can say, I'm the perfect father. Not a woman in here that can say, I'm the perfect wife. I'm the perfect husband. I'm the perfect man. I'm the perfect pastor. I'm the perfect deacon. Not one among us that could say that. But we could all come to the Lord and say, help me to be the man I ought to be. That's my prayer on a regular basis. Help me to be a better father. Help me to be a better husband. Help me to be a better pastor. Help me to do, oh Lord, what I must do. And I believe God will answer those prayers if you seek His face. Seek and ye shall find, He says. While these are praying, you come do what God tells you to do.